I want to thank you, Don, for being willing to play the piano for us. As others have said, the instruments are truly a blessing, and I enjoy that. All right, well, today we are continuing on the series, and we've been studying on three questions that every Christian should ask themselves, and that's what we covered in the last three lessons. And we've come to the point that, you know what, having a relationship with God sure is awful important, isn't it? That's what gives us fulfillment in life and victory through the trials that we face. And so today's lesson is developing a real relationship with God. And so we're going to have like a couple of lessons that will help here in this. And so how do I develop that relationship with God? You know, you said, Pastor, that we need to have a close relationship. But how do I develop it? You know, there's a couple of things that I want to mention as we get started, that the most important decision that you'll ever make is to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But I want you to know that the second most important decision that you'll ever make is to follow Him. You see, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Many people have come to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. The Bible says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." So if we're going to be saved, it's through Jesus Christ and Him alone. He's done everything necessary. We just need to repent of our sin and trust in Him. Now, where do we go from there? Well, a lot of Christians go right back into their old lifestyle, doing the things they used to do before. But you know what? That wasn't so rewarding before, and it brought terrible consequences. So why in the world do we want to go back to that? And Jesus said, "Come unto me, that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Well, He took that guilt away, but why build it up again? You know, and He says, next, follow me. Now, what does it mean to follow somebody? That means to walk in their footsteps or to go along with them or to maybe work together. And remember, Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." That means we have a yoke. We are together with Christ. And I tell you what, I'm so glad He said that there's a yoke, because a yoke means that I am working with Him. In other words, He's not saying, "Go do this." He's saying, "Will you come and help me do this?" When my dad had me help him do something, or when my kids helped me do something when they were little, guess who did most of the work? Dads did. When my kids, I did it. When it was my dad, he did it. And I remember coming to my dad and saying, "Dad, would you help me do this job? Maybe I had a mowing job or something I got. Or, Dad, can I rent your lawnmower?" You know, I didn't own a lawnmower, but I would get lawn mowing jobs, right? So I guess rather than going out with scissors, I, you know, tried to rent my dad's. And so he says, "Well," he said, "yeah, you can rent it." "Okay, great. So just make sure you check the oil. You know, I don't want to blow it up." So I'd go mow the grass and I would collect. And, you know, I was never allowed to charge. It was whatever they paid, you know. So I would come back with the money and say, "Okay, Dad, how much do you want for rental on the lawnmower?" He said, "Oh, nothing." I'd say, "What? Oh, no, Dad, you've earned it." And he was just like, he knew that it really wasn't that much of a gift. And since I was willing, that's all he cared. And he said, I said, "Well, Dad, why don't you want anything?" He said, "Because I love you." And I stopped to think about that. You know what? God doesn't have to have me, but He loves me. And He wants me to spend time with Him. And that's what it's all about today, is understanding who God is and that He wants to have time with you. He loves you. And that's hard for us to understand sometimes, but that is what is so important to understand. He wants to have an intimate, personal, passionate relationship with you. And a lot of times people will look at you kind of funny when you talk about that, because they do not really realize that it's possible. How in the world can I have a real relationship with God? Isn't He in heaven? Well, if you're saved, He's in your heart. He's with you all the time. And you can have a relationship with Him. But one thing I learned about relationships is they're two-sided. You know, have you ever heard someone say, "Man, I've got such a great relationship going." Really? With who? Oh, do you have to have someone? You'd laugh at them and go, "Are you kidding me?" Maybe it's just me, myself, and I. No, we all know that if you have a relationship or you have a good time with someone, you've got to have another party. And you know, when I was growing up, I had a friend that I liked to go over to his house and play with. Any of you kids go over to your neighbor's house and play? Have a good friend you like to play with? Isn't that a lot of fun? You know, and we could think up things to do together and always stay out of trouble, you know, and just have a good time together. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. And, you know, we had a good time, a good relationship together most of the time. But you know what? Both parties have to be in on that. So if I have a relationship with God, both parties have to be in on that. Now, here's where a lot of people mess up on this thing. Because the devil's deceiving us and he's saying, you know what? You've got to do this, 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 and this before God will even notice you. And you have to do this, this, and this for God to be pleased so that He'll look favorably upon you. You know what? That's a lie. God has already done and is doing everything possible on His end to have a relationship with us. And so now He's just asking us to do our part. You know what? When you've got someone doing everything to make a good relationship with us, that's the best kind of relationship to have. Now you're saying like, okay, explain this to me. Well, how is it accomplished? How do I accomplish this? Well, through the resources that God has already provided, and that is His Word, the Bible, and His indwelling Holy Spirit who lives within you if you're saved. He's given everything necessary to guide us into all truth and to walk with Him. Now, I want to take you, first of all, to John chapter 16, and I want to give you a sneak peek into what the Holy Spirit and Christ wants to do in your life. Now, in John chapter 16, remember, this is the Lord Jesus Christ talking, and so it's good to understand the background when you're going to study some Scripture. And that's what we're going to do today, right? Study right out of the Bible. But in John chapter 16, and we're going to be right in starting in verse 7, Jesus is talking to His disciples. He's already told them that He was going to have to go to the cross to die for their sins. Now, the disciples didn't want to accept that fact. How many of you would want your best friend to have to go to the cross or to go take punishment for your wrongdoing? You know, matter of fact, most of the time we'd say, no, no, don't. I earned it. I take the penalty. But you know what? The penalty for our sins was what? Eternity and separation from God. And we don't want that either. And there was nothing we could do about it. So Christ died in our place. And so He said, I'm going to go die. He says, but that means that I'm not going to be with you. He said, but I'm going to send you a comforter. That's the Holy Spirit. And He's going to indwell you. Now that's a relief. That means Christ is going to be in us. We can have that personal relationship. Christ in us and us in Him. And it talks about that in 1 John, and I hope that you read that at the end of the message tonight, or today, as I encourage you to do so. But in John chapter 16, he's saying some other things. In verse 7, he says, nevertheless, he says, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now, the Holy Spirit is going to work in our lives. In other words, of sin and of judgment. What's this talking about? Has the Holy Spirit ever worked in your heart before? Has He ever said, now, that's not what a good Christian would do? That's the Holy Spirit working in your heart. And something I wanted to mention earlier, you know what? We've got a lot of believers, but not all believers are Christians. And that sends a lot of people for loops. And so let me define the terms. Don't anybody say, what is that heretic saying? No, it's not heresy. You see, the word Christian means that you are like Christ. Christian means little Christ. You know, a believer is one who's trusted Christ. You're on your way to heaven. But that doesn't mean you're living like Christ. And that name was given to the Christians first, the Bible says, in the book of Acts at Antioch. In other words, in Antioch, the people there were so excited about Jesus Christ and living for Him and like Him that people said, you know what? You live this like Christ. And they call Him Christian. It means Christ-like. And so would you say that all believers today are living like Christ? And so that's why I made that statement. But we can. And here He's saying the Holy Spirit's come to live in you so that you can. Now let's look at verses 13 and 14. It says, howbeit, when He, that's the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. And so He's just saying here, the Holy Spirit's going to teach you the truths of God's Word.
Aren't you glad? Have you ever heard someone say, you know, I tried reading the Bible once, but it didn't make any sense? That is true, because it is spiritually discerned. The Holy Spirit helps us understand His Word. And so with that in mind, how do I have a relationship with Christ? A personal, everyday one that's exciting? I have to get into His Word and allow the Holy Spirit to work. That's the two things. Today we're just going to talk about His Word. How do I go about studying the Bible? Have you ever thought much about how to study the Bible? Let me ask this question. How many of us would you say spend 15 minutes a week in the Bible? How many of us would you say, and I guess I won't ask for any hands from on, but how many of you would say you spend 15 minutes a day in your Bible? You know, is that a lot of time to give to God to let Him talk to us? Would we expect our kids to listen to us maybe 15 minutes a day? You know, of course, sometimes in our homes things are changing now, and that 15 minutes is on the cell phone or something else, and it doesn't just 15 minutes, but we won't get into that. But relationships, can you imagine a couple dating? You know, a new boyfriend and a new girlfriend, and they say, I'll see you 15 minutes this week. Do we have to see each other that much? You go like, what a whopping relationship they're going through. Yeah, relationships require time. That's what we're going to look at here. And so the Holy Spirit, He's the author of the Bible. And if you're questioning that, you know, I heard a statement said, and I just wanted to address it a little bit. Someone said that the Bible is just a bunch of man's ideas written down by men. And I just want to challenge you on this. Where have you seen a book written by over 40 authors? Because there's over 40 authors, penmen, in the Bible, written over a period of 1,600 years, where they all agree. You probably can't get a group of four men in 5 years to agree on everything that they write down. And I just say, you know what? According to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, it says that the Holy Spirit is the one who told those men what to write. It says this, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So there's a Holy Ghost involved in every word that we have written down in the Scripture. So if He's the author of it, and He's the one that works in our heart, He's the one that explains to us what God wants us to get from it. Have you ever read a Scripture passage for a second time and gotten something different, or something more, I should say? You know, I've got to be careful when I use that term different, because the Bible doesn't contradict itself. But what I mean by different is there's more and more. The more you read God's Word, the more exciting it gets. And so with that in mind, let's move on. The great question for today is, will a person take the time to know God through His Word? If you can find it with me, 2 Peter chapter 3. This is kind of a teaching lesson today, and I don't want to lose anyone, but I guarantee you this. If you take what we learned today and you apply it, your life will be changed. I guarantee it. There will be joy in your life that maybe you've never had before, or if you have the joy in your heart, it will increase. I guarantee it. You're going like, wow, that's pretty strong. You put that on the radio. You guarantee it? Well, God guaranteed it, so I feel safe in this. And so 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 through 18. All right. Here's what it says. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. Now, why in the world did He have to put that in the Bible, that God is not slack concerning His promise? Well, it's like this. You know, God is a loving God. And when you're loving to people, you're merciful to them, right? You know, if you love someone, you kind of want to give them every chance you can. And by the way, before you got saved, how were you living? And so aren't you glad that God was patient with you? And so those people, you know, sometimes people say, well, if there's a God, why in the world does He allow wickedness to go on? You know what? That's a good question. I'm glad you asked. But here's the answer to it. God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. Those wicked people, He wants to repent and come to Him too. And so He's given us that opportunity, and let's give others. And so He says here, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but He is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come, as a thief in a night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what things? All the things of this earth. It says, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? He says, since all the stuff of the world's going to burn up, how should we live our lives? For stuff or for God? And he goes on, he says, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. By the way, isn't this world beautiful? You look at God's creation and it's just wonderful. But yet, the sin and the corruption and the wickedness of man makes it a miserable place. You know, and that's why people are discussing, where is God? I'll tell you where God is. He's in the wonderfulness of this creation, and he's in the happy things and in the good things of this life. But the wickedness and the sin is corrupting that and making it a tough place to live. But God says, I'm going to judge that. I'm going to burn that all up. And he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And it says, in which is going to dwell what? Only righteousness. And that's something exciting to look forward to. Are you looking forward to that day? It says you should as a Christian. And it says in verse 14, it says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. So how does God want us to be when he returns? Without spot and blameless. And so he goes on and account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Why is God holding off? For people to be saved. Even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Now look at verse 16 and on. He's talking about, where did we find out how that God wants us to be? It says, also in his epistles, speaking in the epistles are letters, all right? And the Bible is full of epistles, right? Letters that were written. And it goes on, it says, as also in his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. Now that tells me right off that the Bible takes study to understand everything. Some things are easy, and some things are hard to be understood. He says, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. Now that word rest there, if you were to look it up in the dictionary, means to twist it. Have you ever heard someone take God's word and twist it around to fit their agenda? You know what? He says those that are unlearned and unstable, in other words, not close to God, will take God's word and twist it for their own agenda. He says, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Why? Because even though you twist God's word, God still holds you accountable for what it truly says. And it goes on. He says, ye therefore, beloved, this is talking to fellow believers, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What does God want us to do? To grow in our relationship and in our knowledge of God. And so, this is the life change. This is what God says. So, today we're going to study the first topic, a daily time with God. And it's the only way that we can grow spiritually closer to the Lord. And that is through a daily time in His Word. If you don't spend every day in God's Word, can you still grow? Well, I was just thinking about this. How many of you like to eat? How many of you be looking at your watch if I go over today? I got a roast in the oven, Pastor, and that's going to burn. And then if Pastor goes over, then we have roast preacher for dinner, right? Yeah, and he's a long-winded one. You know? But you know what? We like to eat. At least I like to eat. I maybe shouldn't say that about you, but most people I know like to eat. And I was just thinking the other day, it sure is a blessing that God gave food flavor. I like textures. You ever notice that some babies don't like certain textures? Some adults don't like certain textures. Some certain foods. So we like food, and God made it so we could enjoy it. And we can experiment, and we can put pepper in it and make it hot, and we can put all these seasonings in and make it taste differently. What a blessing. God gave us all those things to enjoy because you don't need to have good-tasting food to survive. So that's a blessing from the Lord. But you know what? You do need food. And when you eat lots of food, you do what? You grow. And adults are looking at me and laughing. You know, you know exactly where I was going with that a little bit, don't you? We eat food and we grow. In our relationship with the Lord, if we don't eat the Word of God, and you're saying, like, what do you mean eat? God says that we are to grow. For young Christians, there's milk in God's Word. Easy things to be understood. For mature Christians, there's steak. I like steak. How many like steak? When I was a kid, I didn't like steak. Don't want steak. Just give me hamburger. That's fine, easy to chew. Give me a steak, and you're sitting there chewing and chewing. Now I have steak, it's just like, oh, that's good. You know, medium well. That's just when some people say, oh, give me it rare. I want it to beller when I stick it. You know, that's too rare for me. But you know what? We need meat. It gives us strength, energy. You know what? How often do you guys eat? How many of you would say you ate once a week? At least. All right? How many of you would say you ate 15 minutes a day? How many take 15 minutes a day to eat? You know, old pastor, we do way more than that. You know what? When you start looking at it, you need food to grow, and you need God's Word to grow spiritually. Are you really getting a whole lot of food spiritually, at least as much as you need to be healthy in your relationship with God? And that's where we want to look at. And if we were to go to 2 Timothy 2:15, and a lot of you probably say, oh, I got that one memorized. I mean, how many of you kids here, or how many folks here could quote 2 Timothy 2:15? All right, good job. I won't put you on the spot, but it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I could preach a whole message on this verse. I'm going to break down a couple words and challenge you with them. The first one is study. Study means this: with all haste, make a diligent effort. Now, when I was in school, one of my favorite subjects was English and spelling. Not really. All right. That wasn't pastor's favorite. And when it came to study English and spelling, I have to admit in a sad way that I wasn't studying very hard. I didn't make haste. I didn't come home and say, Mom, can you hold off on the snack? I've got to get upstairs and study spelling. I just want to get those words down. And you know what? It reflected on my report card in spelling. And then when I came home and I had a bad grade, you know what my mom and dad made me do? My teacher made me write the words 10 times that I missed. When I got home, I have to write them all 10 times because I didn't do well. And so guess what? Work incentive plan. Do or do more. All right? And so I needed to spend time and I needed diligent. But here the word study means that I really need to be excited about it. I need to be in a hurry to do so. And I need to do it diligently. Now here is how that word would be used in a proper manner. You and I are flying in an airplane and we're cruising on at a high altitude, and all of a sudden a light comes on the dash and it flashes and it's buzzing and it says engine to shut down in 20 seconds. Now neither of us are pilots. We just took off, and you're going like, that's crazy, I wouldn't be with you. I know you wouldn't, but just say we are. I say, here's an owner's manual, can you see if you can find in there what to do? Now what would you be doing? Those pages would be flipping almost out of the book. You'd be going to the back, warning light, engine quit, 15 seconds. You know, isn't that how we do it? You know, maybe you're working on your computer and it puts up a warning sign, computer to shut down and whatever. You get a bug on there and it won't work. What do? We Google up and say, what to do when my computer does, and then we go and we try to fix it. You know what? We do that speedily, right? Because we know that if we don't do something quick, we're in trouble. And that's what God wants us to realize, that if you don't quickly get into His Word, you're going to be in trouble. You say, well, don't I have time? When the problem arises, it's too late. What would you say about this airplane thing? Would you rather go with me after I became a pilot or before? Would you rather I studied and learned what I was doing before you went in the plane with me? Or would you rather we learn as we go? You say, Pastor, we're not going to learn as we go. I'll just tell you this right now because you're the only one getting in that plane. That's what I thought. You're pretty smart. You don't go into life's harm's way unless you're prepared. And you shouldn't go into your life, spiritual life, into the harm's way without being spiritually prepared. And so that's what he's saying. Right away, right now, before it's too late, before the trouble comes, get into God's Word. Study to show thyself a workman. And I looked up the word workman. It means a toiler and a skillful laborer. He's not just someone who shows up to work. He's one who knows what he's doing. And you don't know what you're doing spiritually unless you've been in God's Word and study. And so spiritually, he's just challenging us. He says, you know what? Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Is it possible that there are Christians today who are just too lazy to study God's Word and to seek Him personally? I would hope that none of us would be in that boat, but that we'd say, yes, Lord, I want to be in Your Word every day. I know it takes time, takes effort, but that's where I want to be. And so I'm going to do it. Now, here's the second challenge. Not only study God's Word, but in Romans 12, there's two key verses that you've heard preached on a lot. Romans 12:1-2. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So first of all, he's saying, when you're saved, are you going to give your life to the Lord? We've already decided that. Yes, we are. Okay, then he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How many of you kids have transformers? The Snively guys gave me a motorcycle transformer. It's in my office. You guys should see it. You got this motorcycle, and you change it, and he turns into a robot. And then you put him back, and he turns back into a motorcycle. And I have that, remember, transformer I use up here on my pulpit, that car, and it changes from a robot into a car and back and forth. Transform means to metamorphosis, to change. How many of you have ever seen a caterpillar turn into a monarch butterfly? You know, when the kids were growing up, we used to go out in the milkweeds, and you'd find them on there, and you'd take them off, and you'd take some of the milkweed, and you put it in a jar, and it would eat on that milkweed, and then it would... Is it a chrysalis they form? I think it's a chrysalis if I got it right. And they form that, and you wait, and all of a sudden out comes a caterpillar with wings. A beautiful butterfly. All right, we have a metamorphosis, a transformation. It's not a warmed over of its original self. It's something completely different and beautiful. Our lives, before we knew Christ, were one thing, but now we are transformed. How do we transform? By the renewing of your mind. What's the renewing of your mind? That means a different way of thinking. And we talked about that in our very first message. And how do I know how I should think? Except to get into God's Word. So, how often are you in God's Word? You say, Pastor, you said that already. I know. I think the Lord wants us to be reminded of that, because that's what it took for me to spend the daily time with God. You know how many messages I have to hear before I said, okay, I'm going to do it, and I did. I mean, a lot of times I said, I need to, and I'm going to, but I always said, tomorrow. And when I started, I did what? I went home, and I did it that day, and I never quit. That's the only way to do this. And so with this in mind, is there another way to hear God's Word? Well, there is another way. Matter of fact, God says you can hear God's Word preached when you go to church. And that's why he says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much more as you see the day approaching. And so, how many of you think that God's Word is preached from the pulpit? And you don't have to raise your hand on this. Okay, do you feel that it is? And so do you feel that you can get something from God's Word when it's preached? So if God's Word is being preached more than once a week, would it be wise to catch more than one? And so, sure. And so the more that God's Word is preached, the more times I'm there, the more I can grow from it. And I just want to ask you this question. Do you think that God holds us accountable for the messages he lays there and gives us access to? So if we miss something that God has given for us, whose fault is it? It's ours. And so I just think that's important for us to think about. So the word has gone out in Romans chapter 10, verse 13 through 18. I don't have time to go there, but if you'll go read that, in Romans it's talking about how God had given the nation of Israel his word. But you know what? It says in there that God was... Well, I don't know if God was shocked, but we are shocked by looking back and saying, why didn't they take it? How many of you ever read the Bible and in it noticed how the children of Israel would be blessed by God and then they would go back to their old ways? And then you're going like, oh, why did they do that? And then they would repent and they'd come back to God and he would bless them again and forgive them. And then they would do what? Go back in their old ways. Have you ever thought like they were really bullheaded, stubborn, and, you know, foolish for doing that? Just a little bit. You know what? And that's what God is trying to say. Don't be that way. Matter of fact, in one passage in the Scripture, he says, don't be like the mule. I'm going like, what's that about? Am I mule-headed? I think sometimes. And God's saying, you know what? I've got something for you, and I want to be with you today. So please, please, study my word and let it change your mind and your thinking. All right. What's another thing? Well, personal Bible study. We've talked about that some, and this is where I want to leave you today. Understand that the Holy Spirit will guide you as you read God's Word and ask Him for His help before you start reading. That's a practical step, but an important one. When you read God's Word, you can do this. All right, if I can get this across. I don't know how many times I read through the Bible when I was growing up because I was challenged to. And I remember making the challenge here to read through it in a month. I won't challenge. Well, I might, but that was awful hard. But as we read through God's Word, I would try to get through, read through my Bible in a year. You know, I have no problem with that. I think that's a good thing. But when I really started enjoying reading my Bible was when I realized that I was going to read until I got something. Do you know how long that takes? You're going, like, for you, a long time, Pastor. Well, sometimes it did. But, you know, sometimes I only have to read one or two verses. And then I wanted that to take that with me through the day. And so, you know, the Holy Spirit indwells a believer. And I just want, some people said, well, how do you know that the Holy Spirit indwells a believer when they get saved? Can you prove that in the Bible? And someone asked me that question once, and I gave them some verses, and I just wanted to share some with you. 2 Corinthians 1:22 says this. Now, he which establisheth us with you is in Christ, and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given us and given the earnest of the Spirit in your hearts. The Bible says when you get saved, God seals you. You're saved and sealed, and the Holy Spirit lives within you. Okay? Another one here is Romans chapter 8, verse 9. And I'm just going to give you a few of these. You can go read the whole passage, and it'll make it even more clear, if that's proper English. Romans 8, 9 says this. It says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So the Bible here says that if you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, well, then you're not a Christian, you're not a believer, because every believer has the Holy Spirit within him. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 is another passage that you can use. There's lots of them in the Bible that speak on this topic, but it says this. It says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? There he's just saying that, did you know that your body is actually the dwelling place of, a temple means a dwelling place. That is a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. A lot of people aren't aware of that. As you go around through your day, the Holy Spirit goes with you if you're a Christian. The other one is Colossians 4, verse 6. And I found some more in my reading this morning, but we'll just have to go with this because we're going to run out of time. Colossians 4, 6 says this, let your speech be always seasoned with salt. Let your speech, make sure it's the right one, always with grace, seasoned with salt. And that's not the right verse. I'll give you three there. I'll have to look that one up and share it with you tonight. I've got a misprint, and I won't have time to look for it here. But you know what? Prior to reading your scripture in the morning, how about you just ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand what you're going to read and give you something special from it? Now, there's one other thing that the God wants, and that's you to make sure that there's nothing between you and Him so the Holy Spirit can work. In other words, no sin in your life. And so what do we do if there's sin in our life? You know, what should you do when you pray? Say, Lord, is there something between me and you? And you know what? The Holy Spirit will tell you. He tells you pretty quickly. You don't have to beg Him. And when He tells you, what are you going to do about it? A lot of times we go like, well, I don't want to hear that one. How about a different one? How about one that I can say I'm sorry for? No, no. He wants you to take care of that one that He brings. And so then you have an open communication with Him. You say, now, Lord, would you share me something from your word? And He will. Yeah. So in closing, here is a systematic method that you can use for reading through your Bible. Okay, first of all, read it daily. All right? How many times can I stress that? Have I wore that out yet? But how often should you read? Daily. All right. Here is number two. And this point, I've mentioned these before in a service about 3-4 years ago, but here's the other one. Set a regular time. Do you know what? If you don't set a time, you won't get around to it. Because in the morning, I'm going to do it in the morning. If you guys are like me, I have a lot of stuff that pops up in the morning and needs to be done. Right? So, I don't have time. Somebody calls. I've got to go do this. Maybe a cow's having a calf. Oh, that stopped that, right? You can't just wait on some of those things. All right, so now what? Well, I think I'll get that tonight. Now, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I don't come in until late and it's dark and I'm exhausted. So now what? We just skip the day without eating. Now, how many of you go 2 or 3 days because you're busy and don't eat? You go like, no, I'm starving. I'm exhausted. I better eat. All right, so we need to get rejuvenated spiritually. So we got to set a time. And here's what I put down, a little note. If you're too busy to read or study God's Word, you're too busy. Would you agree with that statement? If you're too busy to study God's Word, you're just too busy. And then third one is keep a daily spiritual diary. And why would I need to keep a diary? I don't do that. Because it'll show you when you miss. It'll show you really how much time you spend with God. Because you know what? We think we spend a lot more time with God than we actually do. And so going on, set a regular pace. In other words, don't get carried away and say, I'm going to read all the Psalms today. You know what? When you get to Psalm 119, you wish you hadn't said that, right? You know, so just take something you can chew on and enjoy. And nobody sits down and says, I'm going to have a whole beef today. You got to eat a little at a time. All right. Read with a pen and pen or a pencil in your hand. Why is that? So you can write stuff down. Because I guarantee you, most likely you have a tendency to be a little bit like me and forget things. And I write them down right away. Is it okay to mark in your Bible? It is. And besides that, when you read it the next time, you'll see what you learned before and you can add to it. All right? And understand that God blesses Bible meditators. Bible meditators? What is that? Well, that's a person who thinks on it, chews on it, gets something out of it, and carries it through his day. How many of you have ever seen a cow chew their cud? Isn't that lovely? You know, what they do, they go around, they mow the grass, and they store it in their stomach. And then they go over somewhere, and they sit down. And what, you never notice that they're trying to get out of the way, and they just sit there, and they chew it over, and mull over it. You know what? If they never ate any grass in the morning, how much cud could they chew? None. And if we don't spend time with God's Word in the morning, how are we going to chew on through the day? If you do it in the evening, you should write it down so you can look at it when you leave in the morning so you can think on it through the day. Some people do read at night, and that's fine. But make sure you have it through the day. On the back of your bulletin, if you'll take a look with me, I gave you a sample spiritual diary. Isn't that cool? I'm going to put this on the bulletin for a couple of weeks just so you can copy it. But what I challenge you to do is just get a little spiral ring notebook. And is it allowed to get practical on Sunday morning? I hope so. But anyway, as you note here, this will help you. Now, you notice it says taken from Dr. Coomer's book, How to Have a Daily Time with God. And I've used a lot of his outline because he's got it spelled out quite well. You know, no need to reinvent the wheel. I'm not a writer, and here it's written. If you want to borrow this book, you're welcome to. He's got more tips than what I've shared with you this morning. But here on your sheet, you say, see the day? Put it on there, Monday, Tuesday, Sunday, whatever. So today you can do that. And you can just write down Sunday. Even get a start right now if you wanted. And so that'd be Sunday. You could put down, what is it? 8:13, 9:13. Boy, you're fine, Pastor. 9:13, 15. And then the passage. Why don't you put down 1 John 1? All right, I'm just going to give you a help of where to start. And what I challenge you to do is read through 1 John all this month. You're going like, what? That's only 5 little chapters. I know. You just go back over it and over and over it, and you're going to gain more each time, I guarantee it, if you take time with God. And so what you do is you put down the beginning passage, and you don't put down the ending, because what you're going to do is you're going to read till you can fill in these blanks. Then you've got something, and then you can quit. All right, and just go through the day with it. So what's the first question? Look as you read in there and see if you can find God's message to you. Now, I hope this doesn't seem weird to you, because this is where we have a talk with God. You say, God, what do you have for me today? And I did it this morning, and I put a little note here. And Pastor, what did you get for God's message for today? And I read in here that fellowship is to be desired. You should desire to be with Christians, fellowship, and not only with your Christian believers, but with the Father and the Son through the Holy Spirit. And then it goes on, well, what's the promise from God? Well, God promises there that if I have fellowship with Him, and that's neat because isn't that what we're talking about? It went right along. He says, I want you to know that your joy will be full. You'll be happy when you spend time with Him. I said, well, that's pretty neat. And you know, as I kept reading and spending time this morning, it gave me more and more joy because I kept learning more and more things as I went through. Promise from God is that, you know what? In God, there's no darkness at all. You know, that was a promise and an exciting thing. Isn't it good to know that God isn't sneaky? That He doesn't have evil and He's not conniving and He isn't trying to trick you? If He was trying to trick you, you'd be in trouble. I'm so glad when I get to heaven and that He'll say, I'm keeping my word. Come, you know, your sins are forgiven because Christ is done. Come on in. Wouldn't it be terrible if He said, I changed my mind? He doesn't change His mind. And He's been faithful. So in Him, He has no darkness at all. And here's another thing. He said that if we walk in the light, we'll have fellowship with Him. If we walk in the darkness, though, we don't. We lose our fellowship. Doesn't mean that we're not His children. But you ever have your kids do something wrong and then kind of breaks that little fellowship that we normally have? Still love them. God still loves us. But we know when our kids are doing wrong, it's hurting them. And that's the same way. So going on, there's a promise from God. A command to keep. And in chapter 2, when I got there, in verse 1, it says, this commandment I give unto you. That was easy, right? That ye sin not. In other words, God doesn't want us to live a life in sin. You say, well, don't all Christians sin sometimes? Yes, and it says, and if you do, it says, confess that sin. It's very clear in chapter 2. It says God doesn't want us to stay there. What is a timeless principle? Now, a timeless principle would be what? And by the way, when you make your sheet out and your book, all you got to do is put these in and put about four lines and go write the next one and then fill them out as you read. But a timeless principle is a truth that was true in the Old Testament and it's true in the New Testament. And it's applicable for all ages. What's a timeless truth? I put down here that Jesus is our advocate with the Father and He is the propitiation for our sin. Now, you know what? If you just went and put in your Bible, He's the propitiation for my sin, and you write that on there and you quit, I'm going to be disappointed in you because we need to make there what propitiation is. All right? And so, anybody know what propitiation is? Would you like me to tell you? I'm not going to tell you. That's your homework if you want. I know what propitiation is. And isn't that mean? But anyway, all right, so there we go. And then my application, how does God want me to apply this to my life? Do you know what? I guarantee that if all of us do this, it's going to change all of us. Some of you, I'm not saying that we don't read our Bible already. I just want us to have more time with God. Because if we have a close walk with God, we're going to be joyful. We're going to find out we have strength to overcome some of the things we just can't handle. And the reason that we're going to handle it is because we're just going to give it to God, because now we know He can take care of it and we don't have to worry about it. So many things we're going to learn. And, this man here that wrote this book has been a counselor for over 25 years. He says when we get people to do this for real, he says that eliminates 90% of our counseling. They find the answers by themselves. It's amazing. And God works that way. He'll give you exactly what you need for your day. He knows what you need, by the way. I don't. And you don't even know what you need. But He'll show you at the start of your day. Now, wasn't that a strange message for a Sunday morning? But if you're listening on the radio, I challenge you to do the same. And even if you don't go to church here, I challenge you to, if someone is still willing to do this, I want you to send me a note, email me, write me a letter, say something, catch me on the street, and tell me what it's done for you. Because I know that it's going to change your life. But it's going to take some commitment. And so with that in mind, let's go ahead and we'll close the service today with a hymn of invitation and hymn number 398. It's just a closer walk with Thee. It's a song that people really like. But do we think of the words? Just a closer walk with Thee. Hymn number 398. Let's stand as we sing. Let the Lord speak to your heart. In prayer, and I'd like to ask you the question, and not for my sake, but just to get us thinking about this. But here it says, you know, just a closer walk with Thee, grant it, Jesus, if you please. What do we learn here? He wants it. He pleases. And what's He waiting for? It's us. And so the Lord spoke to your heart today, and you say, Pastor, would you pray for me that I'll be able to implement this in my life? I feel that the Lord wants this to be done. Would you raise your hand? I'll pray for you. If not, you don't have to, but if you raise your hand, I'll pray. All right. Any others?
All right. Well, let's go ahead and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we sure do love you. Lord, I thank you for your word and for your truths that are there. But Lord, you didn't just put them there as a book of instruction. You gave them to transform our lives. You want the best for us. And so, Lord, would you do a mighty work through this week and bless those that raise their hand in a special way, that you'd help them to accomplish this goal that they have set in their life. Lord, those that maybe didn't raise their hand and have set the same goal, they're making this commitment just between you and them. Lord, I pray that this would be something that they would not back down on, but that they would fulfill with you, and that you'd be able to bless in a rich way. Lord, be with this evening service. Help folks to be out to hear the truths from your word that you have provided. And Lord, just bless in a mighty way in your ministry here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.